Good evening. Good evening. Man, let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great evening of fellowship and worship. Now we ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts, our souls, to receive the food that you have for us tonight. Forgive the sins of your servant and let him speak only the things that you would want him to, Lord. And may every soul be edified for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to talk about ministry. And ministry in the aspect of it being we all are ministers. If we take the definition of ministry being service. We are all servants. And we all, as servants, we're supposed to serve. So in that aspect, we are all ministers. It goes without saying that churches around the world, really, they are having a hard time to grow, to multiply. It seems like at the beginning, the early church, you hear from the Acts how the Lord would add to the church daily. And you will see that by the thousands and even going up, you hear revivals were going all over. Nowadays, it seems like it's not like there is less sinners or less unsaved. It's just for some reason churches are not growing. There might be many reasons behind that, but some reason the bigger churches who are preaching the words, or bigger churches are getting smaller and some are closing their doors. Like, I drive a lot for work. I see so many churches for rent, churches for sale. I mean, I say, wow, does that mean, I mean, if we were getting people saved, then we would have to build more churches. But we're not getting them saved at that space. And then more, it's like even people are leaving the church to go out. So something is definitely wrong. And some of the factors we can see is that churches today are moving away, farther away from the original structure of the early church. It seems like the churches don't let Jesus add to them. They are finding ways to add. But if we are adding, they will not stay regardless. But if Jesus himself, he built his church and he is adding, and they will stay. And another thing that is very important, it's like you see the members, for some reason, they are not part of what is going on. They don't engage. They are not serving. They don't even know if they are servants. I think I heard this here a while ago, long time ago, actually, about how ministry, and it's really getting clearer and clearer that ministry today is like a football game, it is said. It is said that like a football game, 16 players are in the field. They are desperately in need of rest, tired. And then you see 50, 60,000 people, they are desperately in need of exercise. So it's like that's the way churches, ministry are getting right now. It's like you find a group, what we call the leaders, and they are tired and they need break, they need rest, and the rest just there to, they need exercise, but they are not doing it. So this is what we're going to talk about, that we are ministers, we are servants. And I'm telling you honestly, And I believe that one of the marks of a born-again Christian is that they want to work, they want to serve. Like, I cannot imagine somebody who really gets saved through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, knowing that Christ died for them, and then, you know, make them understand that they are crucified with Christ. If they live, not there, but Christ liveth in them, for that person not to want to work for Christ, not to want to go out and seek more people. So one of the marks of a faithful Christian, of a born-again Christian, is that they want to serve, because they'll know, it's like almost automatically, faith without works is dead, because you're going to share the gospel about what faith is. And then that person is going to know that faith without works is dead, and then we are his workmanship. We are called to work. We are not saved by our works, but we work after we save. It's just that's just the way it works. Now, they quickly understand, they become members of a body. Automatically, you understand the concept, you are a member of a body. So we talk a lot about that before. You don't want to be a dead member of a body. You want to be active and you want to be useful to the body. Because everybody's ministry is essential. Everybody's ministry is essential. Regardless how many parts we have in our bodies, every single organ must work. Or you are sick, you are not well. I was thinking about the concept of many members in one body. I mean, we take it too spiritual, it's hard to understand. But I said, well, I know at least, we all know about one case where those two girls, they are two heads but one body. You know what I'm talking about? They each depends, they have their own personalities, they have their own ways of thinking, but they have one body and they must agree together. Wherever they are going, they have to have the understanding, or they have to depend one on the other, and then if they want to live life. So imagine them, two of them in one, arguing, or I don't want to go to the movie, I want to go to the theater, and then they don't have to an agreement. It's just, life would be miserable. And that's what happened with us. Imagine now, it's not just two heads. Many of us, many, many members in one body. So we definitely, and we're going to see that in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is telling them to work hard to keep the unity. To work hard to keep the unity. I have I've shared that this before, but a brother in our church in Haiti, where he is one, when he talks, people tend to laugh at him more than they listen. But it's a brother I love to listen to, because even though he's saying so many words, he has one point, and you need to get that point. But he talks funny, and you tend to laugh at him. And one point he shared, I'll never forget that. It doesn't seem too important, but to me, that day it was important, when he was sharing about the ark where Noah had all different kind of animals. And he was sharing about how they had to get along together, because in order for them to survive, they had to come to. And then he was sharing about us, among us. Some of us are dogs. We have dogs' attitude and pigs' attitude and donkey attitude or cow attitude, whatever attitude we have. But somehow we have to come together if we want to make it to heaven. because we are many but one body, and we go into the same place. So that's what happened. When it's come to work, to minister, to serve, we are called, we are doomed to that. And this attitude of interdependence will lead to humility. Once we understand that we depend, we are one body, many members, and we depend one of the other, then you will have the attitude of humility. So you know what? If I need to make it, I better humble myself. Okay? And this is why you see people easily can leave the church. They don't understand the concept of not abandoning the assembling of ourselves, because they think they can do it by themselves, and the result you know. But somebody who truly understands that he or she is placed in a body will not easily just move, because they'll understand where the tree is, that's where the branch must be. Okay? Now, I know I'm talking to my church, and I think I don't have many ways to put it. It's like I'm telling you, not just churches in general, that we need to understand that ourselves, and that we work, we serve. Not just for us to get along, not just for us to accomplish something, whatever, but it's for our own soul. There is a danger in not serving. There is a danger in not ministering. I know this verse, this scripture in Matthew 25, people may give it different meaning. But really, we don't know. Maybe if you don't bring fruit, if you don't serve, that might say even your eternal life might be in danger. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like this king, this master going out, and he gave talent. He called his servants, he gave them talent according to their abilities. He knew what their abilities are. He knew what they can and what they cannot do and how much they can handle. So he gave 5 talents to one. And he said, travel, work at it. Till I come. And he called it the second one. He gave him, was that 3? 3 or 2? 2. He said, hey, that's, I know you, and I know you can handle 2. Go ahead, work until I come. And he called another one, he gave him 1. Of course, verse Matthew 25, I want to read. And so that he that had, verse 20, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, that delivereth unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He did some work, and the Lord blessed his work. And the second one came, who received 2 talents. He said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. He did some work, and he was blessed. But then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So you see the attitude. The two of them worked. But remember, if you are given talent, not only you are expected to work, but he already knows what you can handle, and there is no mistakes. He is too wise to be mistaken. If you have a talent, which we all do, he expects us to work. So in verse 28, he says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't think much about that. We don't even preach much about it. I don't know how we can change this. Not to say if you have talent and you are supposed to work and you don't work, I don't know how else to say that. That may be saying, if you don't serve here, you may not be serving in heaven, because you may not make it to heaven. I think we need to think more about it. Now, remember he said he gave them according to their abilities. Now, I'd like you to at home or go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and start reading from verse 1 to 7 to see how he's talking about the body and the unity of it and being one, etc. But in verse 7, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I know he is talking to the church in Ephesus, but he is talking to us. Everything that is written for us. And we all know, I don't think anybody would disagree, that every one of us will receive grace. We were given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So he knows what to give us. He knows. I have received grace. You have received grace according to his measure. Actually, looking at this a little deeper, I even wonder if we can even seek for gifts, because he is the one giving them. He is the one giving them according to his measure. He knows what we can handle, what we cannot. But keep that in mind, every one of us, if you call yourself a believing Christian, you have a gift. You have a gift to serve with it. You are a minister. Another time we'll go over 8:11, but the point I want to make is that verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, according to what he knows and what his plan is for the church. He gives some different gifts. But those gifts right here, when we look at them in verse 12, he had a specific reason why he gave these to these specific people. He said he gave these for the perfecting of the saints. for the perfecting of the saints. So he, those gifts, those people, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, they are there for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry. Now, it's interesting. Remember we're talking about the 16 doing all the thing and they need rest, and the expectators, they need exercise, but they don't exercise. Do you know churches are expecting the leaders to do all the work? And we, the pastors, apostles, or evangelists, or whatever, they are there to equip you, to equip the body, to equip the members. They are there to give you the tools you need. They are not there to build the church. They are there to equip you. Now we go in, so they have our jobs, right? Now the problem is, are they doing their job? Are you equipped? If you are equipped, then their jobs are done. For the work of the ministry, if you go to the original, you look at it, really this is saying so you can do the work. That's exactly what it says. For the work of the ministry, so the saint can do their work. So you are trained, your trainer train you so you can do the work. Like Paul said, he was a master builder. Let's say an engineer, for example. These guys, they know how to, you know, do the mixtures and do everything. So, but are they the one to actually do the work? The plumbing, the electricity, the everything. I mean, they give you their part of it and what they want and whatever. They are observing and make sure you're doing it right. But they don't do every single thing. And that's what happened. Every part, every member in the body must do its part. The head must do its part. That's where the brain is and everything. But the feet, the legs, and the arms, everybody must do their part in order for the body to work. We must do so for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up, edifying to the building up. And it's the saints that will do the building. But it's not forever. I mean, if you are training a team, whether it's for sports or at work, you don't plan on training them forever. And you need to know when they're ready, right? So you cannot be a trainer forever, the same team. You have the teams coming and going, different players, different employees. So this is being done until we all come in the unity of the faith. So that means in the training those guys are doing, I say guys because most likely they are men's position, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers, the work they are doing, they have a plan and they know when it's going to last. They are not doing it blindly until we all come in the unity of the faith. We talk the same. We believe the same. We agree to disagree. Like there are things like Paul said, if in anything we be otherwise minded, what happened? God shall reveal this unto us, but we have to keep going together. So that's what happens. So there must be a point where we say, okay, wow, okay, we get that. This is done. And then he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, you will not find somebody in church forever and don't really know who Jesus is. And I don't think we have that here. There'll be a point that you can tell anybody who Jesus is. We have the knowledge. Remember, eternal life? Eternal life is to know the true God, Jesus Christ. So we come, until we come to the knowledge of the Son, Jesus Christ, unto a perfect man. I say, how do we know we are perfect? How do I know? And it continues to, but so he tells you with the next, he says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when do we know it's there? There will be a time, if the training is done right, you must look at somebody to say, you know what, so-and-so is growing. You can tell in every aspect this person is mature. You will see it. There is that scripture in Luke 2:52 where the Bible talks about Jesus who grew, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And it should be the same thing for us. You will see the training is done right, and I emphasize the training because that's where it all starts. It's all started by the apostles, the prophets, etc., the foundation. And the next thing you know, you will see you have members. They increase in wisdom mentally. They are strong. Jesus was strong mentally. When somebody asks him a question, he already knew if they were sincere or not. Mentally, he said, I know where you're getting from. He knows when to answer a question, when not to answer, and how to answer it. That's wisdom right there. So you will see somebody in your congregation, and you will see, you know, whoa, so-and-so is growing. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, I had a meeting with a group. I explained how when I realized I grew up, when it's come to wisdom, when it's come to mental. It's a brother of mine who went, he was in the States, and he went to Haiti, and I had in, so she's my brother on my father's side, and I have my niece from my mom's side. And then he didn't find anybody he liked but my niece. But I was in a position where my niece wants him, and I don't want to be in the middle to say no. And then he is a troublemaker, my brother. And if I tell my niece he's a troublemaker, my niece may think I'm keeping her away from her treasure or whatever. So I didn't say a thing. So my brother came back to the States. He needed to tell my dad he found someone, and he knows my dad would say, what? Someone actually take a risk with you? So he didn't know how to say that. So he went to dad. He said, well, dad, I went to Haiti, and Hubert, well, I don't know if it's Hubert, just dragged me to his niece. And somehow, basically he's saying he didn't have a choice because I, you know. So my dad called me. He said, well, your brother says you hook him up. And of course, the first reaction is to blow, you know, and I all of a sudden, I calm down. I said, no, he's my brother. I know he's lying and he knows he's lying. So if I explode, what is the sense? It doesn't make any sense. I know why he says that and he knows why. So in my heart, I say, you know what? He's my brother. He's just trying to use me to, you know, to, so I let that go. And after I finished, I said, wow, look how much I changed. I am different. And that's what happened. Mentally, you become strong. And that's a sign that you're growing. And he says he increased in stature. Of course, physically, I mean, you must grow too. I'm not going too deep over that. So physically, you must be fit. You have to pay attention to even the physical. The physical keeps the spiritual, right? Our temples of the spirit. Jesus grew, and I just pictured Jesus was fit, you know? I don't know. But he also grew in favor toward God. Spiritually, he grew. Spiritually. He became the friends of God. And he was also growing in favor before men. He grew socially, he grew. He increased. So he was a man of everybody. He was respected everywhere. Those are the signs. Those are the signs for the leaders to see so-and-so is growing. So you don't, we train them so you know when the unity of the faith is there, the knowledge of the Son of God is there, you just see it. And you see the perfect man in front of you, you see all these signs. Oh my goodness, we are ready to do some work, right? You went to boot camp, your company commanders train you for a few weeks, and you're ready to go, you graduate and get another team, right? Being the trainer, I will always be a trainer, and I will get people to come and go, but they're going to work. So these guys' jobs are not to evangelize. They are not to do, they are there to equip. The example I take from that idea is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And you know the story. When the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table." Let's stop here. As we grow as a church, whatever trouble will come. And that's just the way it is. So there were those 12 who at first they were just there were great fellowship and things were going on, but as the multitude, the disciples grew in numbers, trouble start. There must be a solution. But the work started to be really overwhelmed for the apostles. They needed help. So they called the multitude of the disciples, because those are the ones doing the works, but they themselves, they were supposed to be in the Word. So the apostles, the 12, they said unto the multitude, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. We are not called to serve tables. We are called to equip you guys to serve. We are called to concentrate on that. So, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, because there was some growth going on, some teaching were going on, and they can determine who were perfect, who had some wisdom, who grew, increase in any aspect. Then they said, whom we may appoint. So even though he told them to seek among them, but they would be the one to appoint them, okay, over this business. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We all must do our part. We will make sure continually we do our part in prayer and in the word. Of course, verse 5, they chose the seven men, but verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Verse 7, something happened. The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see what happened when everybody's doing their part and we're faithful in it? That's where the increase comes. Well, do you think this is old-fashioned? I know there are mega churches, and some maybe we may look and say, well, this is doing good, or this. You know what? I wonder with what kind of materials they're building. Maybe you think that how many, if the trumpet sound, that's when you're going to find out how many we have. Because whatever attract somebody, if it's not Jesus building his church and placing us in ministry, regardless how many we have. So numbers are important, but the problem is where the numbers come from. How do they get there? How do they come here? I can give you a perfect example. I am by nature, I would say, I'm not emotional. So of course, in our church, the church I led before, I need people who are emotional to lead and to, you know. But one of the things I've been accused of is that I hinder the Holy Spirit to move. I hinder the gifts of the Spirit, like whatever it is. But all I say, hey, if the gifts are given by Jesus, and I'm not going to hinder anybody from exercising it. But I have, as a trainer, I have eyes to see if it's not of God or not. The Bible says exactly how. Like if you start speaking in tongue, then the Bible says I have to look around to see who will interpret what you're saying. If you have the gift of healing, my goodness, start healing the sick. We need that. Whatever you have, but if somebody is sick, then you don't heal it, I'll take that person to hospital. Like, I have two hospitals in Haiti, and to me, that's my healing gift. I drive them there, and then... But I would love to save that. If we have the gift of healing, let's go ahead, let's heal him. We want that. So whatever. So all of a sudden, unexpectedly, I move here, and I did not come back. So that was the opportunity for freedom, really, because different administration, same spirit. The next thing I hear, everybody was speaking in tongue and prophecies were being delivered. And I mean, I went to Haiti. I get to the church that first time after I left. It was another church. Sick laid all over the church, all over inside. And because they came to church waiting for healing stuff. But the point I want to make, baptism were taking place almost by the minute, because the Holy Ghost would come somebody's head and then it say, you get baptized, you get baptized, you get baptized. And the church grew really fast. And it was to show me how much I hindered the church from growing. And all of a sudden, everybody's gone after that. And everybody who were there by the words and by the nourishment of the word and the way it's supposed to be, they're all there and growing and then multiplying and doing the work. So we need to go back to the way it used to be done. The old ways is still good. Still the way of doing it. This way we grow, we increase in wisdom, we increase in stature, in favor, spiritually and socially we grow. And that the body may be edified, the building up will be done, and everybody will do their part. And then you will see, not just 16 be tired, we all will be together. And then the load will be much lighter. This is my hope and prayer, that we get to that point where we all, because we know we have talent. Whatever your talent is, it is given to you, to the body. And don't expect your leader to do the building part of it. You are to build the church, the saints. Beside the pastors, the evangelists, and the whatever, everybody else is to build a church. So, if the head would do its job, the rest of the body cannot blame why the church is not being built up. And I've talked to Pastor Payne already about that. We are going to make sure the trainers are doing their part. And if you have tools, if you are given tools, that means you need to work. And if you work, God will make the increase. That's what I like about it. I like that about it. Once you work, God is the one doing the increase. If you work, the increase will come. He doesn't call us to multiply the flock. Nope. He calls us to feed the flock. But we're trying to multiply the flock. Again and again I said it, a flock well fed will multiply itself. Just by itself. But a flock not well fed, malnourished, can be a pain. They're noisy. I shared this experience with few of you, that I never owned or sheep or anything, but I've growing up where they live, where my neighbors would have him. If you don't feed the sheep in the evening, you will not sleep at night. They are noisy. And that's what happened. If we don't feed the flock, the congregation, you will have noise everywhere. May God open our heart and mind to understand our ministry and to understand that we are ministers and we all must understand where we are placed in the body. If the feet is trying to do what the hand's supposed to do, there'll be a problem. Once you understand that, God will make the increase. May God bless you.